Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. That's where we'll be for the preaching of God's word this evening. And Philippians chapter 4 is where I'm going to ask you to turn. We'll look at verses 1 and 2. We're going to focus primarily on verse 2, but I want you to see verse 1 as well. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. The Bible says there, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Now notice verse 2, if you would. "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they might be of the same mind in the Lord." So notice that it says of these two apparently ladies in chapter 4 and verse 2, that Paul was beseeching them that they would be of the same mind in the Lord. The Bible does not tell us what their division was or what their dissension was, but as happens in any kind of relationship, there's always going to be friction, and within a church, that is, it's still that way. We deal with human beings in churches, don't we? And so therefore, there are going to be disagreements, there is going to be friction, and there was here in the Philippian church. And so Paul had to write in his letter just a brief note to beseech them that they would be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, over the last 18 months, there have been a couple of different times where I've preached messages to you on that subject and similar subjects about the need for us to focus on unity, and it's just something that the Lord has brought to my mind again. If you're following along with the Bible reading schedule that we handed out, like I am, this is one of the passages that you read this week, and it stood out to me, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach this to you again, because I'm reminded over and over and over again that Satan wants to divide us. He wants to cause divisions in and between God's people. And I want to warn you of that tonight and encourage you to not let Satan win the victory on that front, okay? I want to encourage you with that. And what I want to do tonight is I want to show you that Satan loves to divide, and then I want to show you that God loves unity. And thirdly, I want to show you how we can obtain the same mind as was spoken of here by Paul to these two ladies. The reason I bring this up is I can see in the future, and if you follow along with events like I do, you can see in our nation it's already beginning that people are being divided along a lot of different lines, aren't they? According to skin color is a big issue in our world today, isn't it? Which is amazing because it's such a satanic way of thinking, in that I hope everyone here understands that according to God's word is very clear. We are all, no matter the color of our skin, we are all of one blood. In other words, we come from the same father and mother. Doesn't matter the color of our skin, we're all from the same line. That means we are all related. That means this idea of races is not in the Bible. That's not God's distinction. That is purely evolution's distinction. And if the world wants to blame anyone, they should blame men like Charles Darwin. But races don't exist. Now, nations are biblical, and there is division between nations, absolutely, but not based on skin color. And that's an important thing to realize. But our world is trying to divide people based on skin color. Our world is trying to divide people based on political ideology. Have you noticed that? And it's been that way from time to time in our nation, where those who are on one side of the aisle and those who are on the other side of the aisle are at odds. But I don't know that it's ever been worse than it is now, where because media is just there to make money, by the way, if you haven't figured that out. They're just there to make money. And so they do their making of money by trying to divide people based on political ideology, to where the point is, if your neighbor is of a different political persuasion, then they want you to hate your neighbor. Which, by the way, I seem to find that actually when you are out in the regular world, Democrats and Republicans, generally speaking, in neighborhoods get along just fine. And in my neighborhood, it's that way anyway. There are people with Biden signs, and there are people with Trump signs. There are people with a don't tread on me flag, and people with a queer flag. And you know what? We all get along actually real well. But they want to divide. The newest division that I'm noticing, and I'm sure you notice it too, is on the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. That's the new one. And of course, the world is trying to divide people based on whether or not you've been vaccinated. One side would say, boy, if you're vaccinated, you are just, I mean, you're just a puppy being led along on a string. And the other side would say, if you're not vaccinated, you're just a puppy being led along on a string. And you're evil if you're this way, and you're evil if you're that way. Listen, the world will do those kind of things. But I want to warn you, as a church, Satan will try to get in the church along those same lines. Now, this area of the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated in the church is a little bit more of a weakness where, if we're not careful, it could become a division. The reason I say that is race, because what we believe in the Bible, that we're all of one blood, Satan doesn't have in a church like ours much ground to cause division in a church like ours, because we believe the Bible, that we're all from Adam and Eve and later Noah and his descendants. Therefore, Satan doesn't have much leg to stand on that. Politically, we tend to agree on majority of things, and at least morally, we tend to be very conservative because we, again, believe the Bible. So Satan doesn't have much ground to divide us on political grounds. But in this area of vaccinated versus unvaccinated, I want to warn you that Satan has some ground there that, if we're not careful, he will use to divide good Bible-believing local churches like ours. And I want to encourage you, don't let it happen. I believe the Apostle Paul, more than that, the Holy Spirit of God, would say to us, I beseech you, Madison Baptist Church, those who have been vaccinated and those who think that they will never get vaccinated, be of the same mind in the Lord. I believe that's what the Lord would say to us and is saying to us tonight. And I want to encourage you on that. So I've already prayed over the message. Let's get into it. First of all, Satan loves division. Satan loves division. Notice Revelation chapter number 12. Revelation chapter number 12. I want you to see this about our enemy, Revelation 12, and I'll be fairly quick with these passages of Scripture tonight because we want to move along and I want to be able to cover lots of ground. Revelation chapter number 12, look at verse 10. Notice, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, Satan is called the accuser of our brethren, and the reason is because he accuses us before God day and night. Aren't you glad that we also have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous? And I'm glad that my advocate, my lawyer spiritually up in heaven, is way better than the accuser, and he's won the victory for me. But I point that verse out to you not to prove that absolutely I know for sure that Satan also accuses us to others, but I would just say, I know he accuses us to God, and it's not much of a stretch to imagine that he also wants to accuse me to you. Now, don't raise your hand, but I can ask the question, how many of you have ever had a thought in your mind like, wow, my pastor sure didn't do such and such right, and wow, he sure is a loser? Do not raise your hand. But listen, I know how it works because I too have sat where you are. I've been in a church where somebody else is my pastor, and I know how it goes. Thoughts come in your mind and think, why would he do it like that? Why would he say it like that? And I can tell when I've been in your place in the pew rather than the one behind the pulpit, that wasn't the Holy Spirit that brought that to my mind. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't just happen that way. It happens the other way as well. Satan accuses you to me. Satan accuses you to others and others to you. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. We know that from God's word. So I want to point out to you that it is part of who Satan is to accuse. And he'll use this issue of vaccinated versus unvaccinated and vice versa to try to accuse your brethren to you. Don't let him do it. He loves division. Notice what Proverbs chapter 6 says. Proverbs 6. I pointed this out to you in the past, but let's remind ourselves of what Proverbs chapter 6 says. In verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. Now, look at verse number 19. He lists seven things, okay? Verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies. The last one is, and he that soweth discord among brethren. I point that out to you because if God hates someone that sows discord among brethren, let's do some deduction here and say it's not a big stretch to think that Satan is one who loves to cause discord among brethren. If God hates it, Satan loves it. And Satan will try to get in and cause division among people who are brethren. It's part of who he is. And that is an abomination before God. Now again, that word abomination tells you how strongly God feels about it. So if thoughts come to your mind about somebody else who's a member of this church, about their status on how they stand on this issue, and it brings up in you a feeling of anger toward them, frustration toward them, to where you would have a feeling of discord with them, you can know in God's sight that feeling is an abomination to him. That's something that someone else brought up. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. That's God's word. Now again, I realize I'm doing some deduction from that, but I don't think it's much of a stretch. Also, when we're talking about Satan loving to divide, we can see it in Satan's work from the very beginning. Do you remember how he divided Adam from God? He came to Adam's wife Eve and said, yea, hath God said? And then he said, when she mentioned about the tree and eating the fruit of it, that they would surely die, he said, you won't surely die. But God knows in the day that you eat thereof that you will become as gods, knowing good and evil. He accused God to Eve. He caused division to the point where after Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they were hiding from God. That was division. That's part of Satan's work. I think about the fact that Satan brought about a divided kingdom in Israel, to the point where when Rehoboam became king, you know the story, right? The men came to him and said, listen, your dad was really hard on us, and if you'll be good to us, we'll serve you. But, and Rehoboam did not heed the counsel of the old men, rather the young men, and there was a division. Now, I realize God was behind that ultimately, but Satan was the one who caused the division initially. It's part of Satan's work. Also, we can just think about the church in Corinth. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, the Apostle Paul talked about division there. Let's turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. It's part of who Satan is, and we can see it in his work from the very beginning, that he causes division. And I believe that God laid on my heart to share with you that there is a need for us to watch out for this in this area right here. Because there are many in our church who have been vaccinated. There are many who have not been vaccinated. And I want you to understand, God wants us to be of the same mind no matter where we are on that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? We can stop right there. I would encourage you to read the rest of the chapter, but I know that you know the gist of what Paul says. The division was different in Corinth. It was over who had baptized you, but it was still a division. Satan was the one who was bringing that about. It was part of carnality. It was an idea of dividing the church into sections, into groups, into people who, yeah, they're part of the same church, but there's a faction over here and a faction over there. And they weren't necessarily at each other's throat, but they weren't unified either. And you understand that that's a danger for you and me. If someone is in the church who disagrees with me on a topic that is not, we're not talking about the cardinal doctrines of the faith, then I need to be careful that I stay unified and of the same mind. Because Satan loves division, and I've got to watch for that. Notice with me, if you would, Proverbs chapter number 13. Turn there with me, if you would, as well. Proverbs chapter 13. We're still talking about the fact that Satan loves to divide. Proverbs 13, and I want to show you verse number 10. And here is one of those verses in the Bible that lays something out so plain and clear that there's no wiggle room for us. Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Only by pride cometh contention. You know what that means. If there is contention, pride is there. Now, I'll be honest with you, there are times that somebody is wrong in what they are saying, and I know they're wrong, and they're talking to me about it, and I'm getting irritated with them. And even though I'm right and they're wrong, the Holy Spirit convicts me because this verse is still true whether I'm right or wrong. If there's contention, it's because I have pride. And pride does not just happen to those who are wrong. Pride can happen even more times to those who know they're right. And by the way, you wouldn't do what you do if you didn't think it was right. The vast majority of the time. And when we're talking about an issue like this, we'll have people who will do one thing and say, I'm right on that. And we'll have people who will do the exact opposite thing and they'll say, no, I know I'm right on that. Listen, that's fine. Every man should do that which he believes God would want him to do and follow those dictates of his conscience as he follows the Lord and walks in the Spirit. Here's where the danger is. The danger is there contention? And if there is, chapter 13, verse 10 of Proverbs is applicable, whether you're right or wrong. And that's convicting to this guy right here standing behind the pulpit. It is the truth. Satan loves division. That leads me to the second point of the message, which is the opposite of that, that God loves unity. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 133. Psalm 133 shows us that God loves unity. Look at what God says in Psalm 133, verse number 1. We'll just look at the first verse. The psalm is short, and we could look at it all, but just for time's sake, I want to focus on verse 1 of Psalm 133. The Bible tells us there, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Look at what God says about it. By the way, if you read the rest of the chapter, what you find out is it's a result of the Holy Spirit. But I won't get into that. I just want you to see the language that God uses about unity. To God, it is beautiful and it is pleasant. Now, let me give you a little bit of homework and encourage you to just sometime look up in a concordance when good and pleasant are together in a description of something. There aren't many times, but there are a couple of times where those two adjectives are used to describe something. Unity is one of them. There are some other things that are also described by those two words, and it's just interesting to see. Because that's not something God often uses, but he does use it to describe this. That means that, let me just put it in our context, when we are unified. Doesn't mean we have to agree on everything, but we're unified as in we're heading this direction and we're going to love and serve the Lord and we're going to, you know, follow the Bible and we're going to love and care for one another. When we're unified in that, it's good and it is pleasant. in God's sight. He looks down, and that is pleasant to him. God loves unity. Let me show you also in James chapter number 3. James chapter 3. We'll look at verses 13 to 18. Unity glorifies the Savior. James chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible tells us there, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation," that means a manner of life, lifestyle, okay? "A good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom." Boy, that's an important phrase, with meekness of wisdom. "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom," the one that would bring you bitter envying and strife, "descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." So let's stop for just a second. Let me ask you a question. Is God pro-COVID vaccine or anti-COVID vaccine? And let me encourage you to stop before you answer in your own mind. Because that's not really the issue that you need to ask yourself. The reason I bring that up is I want you to see, listen, one person will come up with one answer, another person will come up with another answer. Here's what I want you to see. If you believe the answer to that question is a certain way, and you believe you're right on that, and yet it causes you to have bitter envying and strife in your heart, here's what you know. That bitter envying and strife did not come from godly wisdom. It came from fleshly wisdom. I'm not saying you're wrong in your answer of COVID vaccine, yes or no. I'm saying what the Word of God says here, which is that bitter envying and strife, that's flesh. That is flesh. Notice what else it says. Verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." What God tells us through the writer James here is that when God gives you wisdom, here's what happens. It's pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, and the rest of the things. In other words, I may be right on the answer of the yes, I should get a vaccine, or no, I shouldn't get a vaccine. But the more important thing is, how do I feel about those who disagree with me? Do I feel pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated? If so, then I know that I'm being led by the Holy Spirit. If I'm not feeling that way, I'm not saying that you're wrong in your answer of the vaccine thing. I'm saying somewhere in there, the flesh is involved. Somewhere in there, the flesh is involved, and you need to deal with that. Because God is glorified, as we can see right here in James 3. When he gives wisdom, there's the good fruits that result in unity. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now also, look with me if you would, at Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians 2. Verse 2, just start there. "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." We are called to be of the same mind, and the way that we're called to be of the same mind is we're to think like Christ, which was, I'm going to humble myself and think of others and meet their needs. God loves it when we get rid of the pride and the selfishness that we have and we just look at the needs of others and a desire to be a blessing to others and a desire to encourage others, whether they agree with us or not. That is the mind of Christ. Now, let me give you the third point of the message, which is how can we obtain unity? I've showed you that Satan loves division, God loves unity. How can we obtain unity? Well, first of all, turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. I told you that we looked at a few passages of Scripture. Ephesians 4 is where we need to turn next. Ephesians 4, and look at verse number 3. Notice that it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How are we going to have unity? By endeavoring. You know what that means? That means work. That means it will not happen accidentally. Just like we would tell a young couple who's about to get married that, listen, there will be friction when you get married. I know that right now you're looking into each other's eyes and you cannot imagine for the world how you would ever not get along with that beautiful individual, but I promise you, it will come, right? Don and Deb, who are about to celebrate 50 years, no friction ever, right, guys? No, I know better than that. We would tell a young couple, hey, there's going to be friction, right? If you're going to be unified and last 50 years, it's because you're going to endeavor to do it. You're going to choose that when that friction comes, we're going to handle it properly. We're not going to say loose words. We're not just going to let our mouth fly wherever our mind wants to take it with saying, you know, things and threats and everything else that sometimes couples do. We're not going to do any of that. We're going to work at this. We're going to resolve problems. We're not going to let anger seethe. We're going to deal with issues. We're going to speak the truth in love. We're going to forgive all the other things. It works the same way in a church. If we're going to be unified, it's going to be through work. And you might say, Pastor, boy, I don't know, a message like this, and boy, it's a sensitive issue, and it's a little uncomfortable to talk about these things, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That means we have to talk about some uncomfortable things sometimes and recognize if we're going to be unified, which glorifies God, then we're going to have to endeavor to do it. Otherwise, what will happen in the future is we'll have splits. Now, I haven't seen anything in our church that would indicate that at all. I don't want to give you that idea. But at the same time, this is just something the Lord laid on my heart because I can kind of see it in our nation coming down the pike. You can see the media especially wanting to make a split in our nation based on this subject. And the Lord laid on my heart that, you know what, if Satan's trying to do that in the nation, he definitely wants to do it in churches. And I think that in the future, some churches will probably succumb. Now, none that I know of, but I just see the writing on the wall. And I want to encourage us, if we're not going to go that direction, then we better endeavor. Because if we're going to be a body of Christ, which we are, if we're going to exist as a church, listen, we're going to have to put up with some people that we don't always agree with. Welcome to being a church. We're going to have to put up with some things that we think, oh man, it shouldn't be that way. Well, welcome to being part of a church. We have to endeavor to do it. It is work, which leads me to the next verse, Ephesians 4:4, and the second point that I want to bring out to you about how we can obtain unity, verse number 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. So the second point based on verse number 4 is, it will come not only with work, but with realization of the truth. And that is this, that we are one body. We are one body. In other words, this, just like if my hand had a problem, unless it were so bad that it were causing the rest of the body to be in danger, I would do whatever it takes to keep it. If by some weird thing my hand shriveled up and stopped working because of some disease, I wouldn't chop it off. Well, it stopped working. I don't like the way it looks anymore. I wouldn't do that. Now, the only way I would is if it had gangrene or something like that, that was a risk to kill the entire body. Do you understand how it works with your body? You forgive and you deal with your physical body in such a way that, hey, that part is important. I kind of want to keep it. Shouldn't we look at one another that way? Brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so who disagrees with me. Now, you know, I can't believe that they would disagree with me. What is wrong with them? If they could just see it clearly, they'd agree with me 100% of the time. That's usually how I think, and you think too, if you're honest. But the truth of the matter is, it won't be that way. And so I'm going to have to realize, even though they disagree with me, and I can't imagine why they would, they're part of the body, and I want them around. Because they might be a hand or a finger or an ear or a big toe or, hey, they might even be something like the heart, something super important. Either way, it doesn't matter. God has them here, and I want them around. I have to realize how God has placed the body together if we're going to have unity, all right? So with work, with realization of the truth, and then look back at Philippians chapter 2. We were there already, but look at verse number 4, and I'm just going to read it real quick. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, by seeking the blessing of others. Seeking the blessing of others. If we're going to have unity, it will happen because we seek to bless others. Again, using the illustration of marriage, one of the things that I try to get young couples who are about to get married to understand is this. The best thing you can do is seek to give in to your spouse, if at all able. Seek to give them what they want, unless you're going to have to compromise in it. Obviously, don't do evil things. Obviously, there's a time and the place to say, no, we can't do it that way because it's not good for the marriage. But in general, if at all possible, give them what they want. Why is that so hard? But in marriage, those of you who are married, it's hard, isn't it? Because I'm selfish and I'm out my way. And I'm going to throw a tantrum if I don't get it. And sometimes even the pastor throws a tantrum. Don't ask my wife. She'll tell you the truth. But in a church, you know, it's the same way. That's basically what verse 4 is saying. Give them what's best for them. Do what will help them. If it's not something that you're going to compromise on or that it goes against your conscience or whatever, listen, give in whatever. If we'll do that as a group, if everyone together will do that, there will be unity. Again, don't compromise. Don't go against your conscience. But if it's within the realm of what you believe God would be okay with you doing, man, give them what they want. Just like in a marriage, if you have a husband and a wife who both look at the other and say, I want to give you what you need and what you want, it'll work very well if you can get a couple who will do that. Same in a church. So we've seen it will happen with work, with realization of the truth, by seeking the blessing of others, and then ultimately, it comes down to what our text says. So let's go back to Philippians 4, because I saved the most obvious for last. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 2, notice what it says. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Ultimately, what it comes down to is having the same mind in the Lord. In other words, this. Ultimately, it comes down to, I need the mind of Christ. And so do you. And if I have the mind of Christ, and you have the mind of Christ, then we're going to be the same. Then we're going to be unified. Now, again, just think about Scripture. Paul and Barnabas being a great example. Did they always agree on everything? No. And yet, they walked with the Lord. They got along. Now, there came a time where they had to split ways. But at the same time, we never find them, you know, splitting a church or anything like that. Friends, I want you to see here that if we will have the mind of the Lord, then we will have unity. And you might say, well, Pastor, how can we have the mind of the Lord? I'm so glad you asked. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. This will be the last scripture we turn to. And I realize I've had you turn to a lot of scriptures, but each one is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because I want to show you how to have the mind of the Lord. Because again, if we're going to be unified, we have to meet in a common place. The only common place we have is in the Lord. We have to meet in that place of His mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Okay, now that's a great verse, and we use that often to talk about heaven and how, boy, it's going to be so great we can't even comprehend it. But look at what verse 10 says. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Listen, the Spirit knows what heaven is like, and the Spirit's within us. So really, we have that. Now look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost, which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? If I'm walking in the Lord, if I'm spiritual, I'm able to judge all things. I'm able to have an opinion about things because the Spirit of God guides me, yet I'm not judged of anyone. Now notice verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In the context, how is it saying that we have the mind of Christ? How is it that I can have the mind of Christ? I thought that I struggle with a lot of these things. Well, the context is because I have the Spirit of God within me. So if we're going to have unity, it's going to be because we have the mind of Christ. If we want to be of the same mind, like our text, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2 said, the only common mind we can have is the mind of Christ. So how do I have the mind of Christ? I need to be in tune with the Spirit of God. Friends, it goes back to the thing that we're hearing and reading in God's Word over and over and over and over. And that is, the key to the Christian life is walking in the Spirit. If you will walk in the Spirit, and I will walk in the Spirit, we'll be of the same mind. It's not to say that we're going to agree on everything. It's not going to say that we come down on the same political side of the aisle or on the same side of this question of vaccinations and things like that. It's not saying that every little thing we'll agree on, but we'll have the mind of Christ. We'll be able to have the same mind and go forward together, setting those minor disagreements aside for the cause of Christ, because we are in the same mind in the Lord. And if we're finding ourselves that we're not in the same mind in the Lord, then I would submit to you that we're not walking in the Spirit. Going back to my illustration, and we'll close with this, illustration of marriage, what I tell marital couples is this. If you're struggling to get along, here's what you know: you're not walking in the Spirit. It's not about whether or not your spouse is right or whether or not you're right. It's if you're having contention, it's one or both of you is not walking in the Spirit. And if there's contention from both sides, it's because you're not walking in the Spirit in both cases. Because the Spirit of God is the answer to all these things, whether it be marital problems or church problems or sibling problems or you name it. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So church, let me encourage you as we go forward. Let's be of the same mind in the Lord. You say, Pastor, where can we meet? All right, let's meet together in walking in the Spirit. Let's all focus on walking in the Spirit. And if we will, then we'll be unified going forward. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you would help us as a church. Lord, I don't want us to fall prey, and I know that you don't want us to fall prey to Satan's devices, where he would try to divide us into factions based on these societal issues that we're in. And Lord, I do ask that you would give wisdom to each and every individual how they ought to respond to this situation, what they ought to do with their health decisions. Lord, give each one wisdom to know what you want them to do. Don't let us be deceived by either side. Help us, Lord, to hear and know your voice. But Lord, more than anything, help us not to be deceived into thinking evil of others, into breaking up into factions, having divisions and strife, being carnal, sensual, devilish. Please, Lord, and forgive us where that lies in our hearts. Lord, we see that creep up from time to time in our mind, in our hearts. We confess that as sin. Lord, it's wickedness. It's an abomination before you. We confess it. Now, Lord, I ask that you would remove that from us and replace it with a unity, even as we've asked before, teach us what it means to walk in the Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and we ask for your blessing on us as we're dismissed. In Jesus' name, amen.